Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight we're departing from the norm to talk about a tissue-worthy, ice cream necessary topic, loss. I'll preface all of this by saying I don't know how short or long this episode is going to be. I just want to spend some time with you guys because you always make my heart so happy, and I could definitely use some of that right now. I'll also say this, exit stage left if you're in no mood for this, because I'm sure it's going to be sad. And maybe don't listen if you're driving or operating heavy machinery, because you really don't need any kind of accident, and clear vision is top priority. So maybe skip this episode and come back for the next one. It's really okay. So I'll apologize in advance if I take long pauses or I cry, because that's just this kind of episode. So I'm sorry in advance, and I can already feel it coming. So loss. Oh my gosh. This is very fresh on my mind because my family and I are in the storm of this as we speak. A few days ago, we were hit with the very sudden and very crappy news that one of our loved ones has passed away. I know way too many of you have dealt with this at some point in your life, and sadly, it's going to come again and again for every one of us, and that mega sucks. For us, we're 3 days into our sadness and still very much at the point where we're counting minutes and hours since our loss. And I find myself wishing for the time when I realize it's been weeks versus hours, or months and years versus hours, because hopefully that'll mean I've learned to live with it far better than I'm living with it right now, which is not really at all. I've checked the cosmos, and trust me, there's no easy button. The news is the worst. Like, the moment is forever scarred in the brain, the heart, the soul, everywhere. And I often joke on these episodes and say that my memory is crappy. And honestly, I really wish that were true when it came to things like this. Hearing about the loss of someone you know and love just stays with you forever. And for the rest of my living days, I will never forget that I was sitting at the table. Sorry. I was sitting at my table eating roasted potatoes, scrambled eggs, hummus toast topped with tomato slices when I heard the news. And I'll never forget how I was walking out the front door at work to walk across the parking lot to the vet's office to see Honey post-surgery when the surgeon called to tell me she was gone. Or the morning I went into work ridiculously early to get a jump on the day while the world was still quiet, and my mom called to ask me to check on my grandma because she wasn't feeling well. And little did any of us know that would be the last time anyone physically spoke with her. I will never forget how hard I stared at our refrigerator and the details on the cabinets as I listened to my mom breaking down on the other end of the phone when she shared the details with me that she had so far just the other day. And that was day one. I will never forget the look on the surgeon's face and the sound of sadness and distress in his voice as he told me about Honey's surgery and every single thing he did to try to save her sweet, delicious life. That too was day one. And I'll never forget how driving 17 plus miles from my parents' house to the hospital where my grandma had been transported felt like a freaking eternity. And that I was still wearing my pajamas and the messiest top knot I have likely ever sported. That was also day one. That damn day one. And honestly, day two is no better, and day three is no better. And even though we're very much in the beginning stages of this experience, I can't for the life of me put my thoughts and questions into any kind of order. I don't remember what I did first, what I said first, how long it took me to move my body. Did I cry? When did I cry? How much did I cry? Were my muscles stiff? I have no idea. I've wondered if I've gone deaf, or was that energetic shift so powerful that it actually made the world silent? Did I do enough, say enough, be enough, laugh enough, give enough? I honestly have no idea. I know that in this moment, our family has lost an incredibly bright light. My life of the party, always cheerful, family first and always, the truest ride or die, brutally honest, knowledge dropping, bonfire loving Uncle Sandy. He has been in my world since the beginning of my days and has always been such a force. And I don't even know what other word I could use besides force. And I remember one of the times he came to visit, I gave him some crystals for protection for whatever reason. And I assume it was something along the lines of black onyx, black tourmaline, any of my favorites. I really don't remember, and it honestly doesn't matter. And, you know, I joke, like I said, about my memory being crappy. And really, when he left that time, I honestly just forgot that I had given him those crystals. But what's really cool is that almost every time that he would come back to visit with us, he would make it a point to show me the crystals and that he had them and carried those crystals with him all the time. And it always made me feel so happy to think that I may have had a hand in keeping him safe while he was away from us. And it just made me wonder, did he have his crystals on him when he left us? I don't know. And honestly, it doesn't matter. But isn't it crazy the things that come to mind when you're going through something like this? All of the thoughts that just bombard you, and it's like you can't think about anything else. It goes and it goes and it goes. And you know, this has just made me think about other things, which is usually the way it happens. And in going through my memory bank, I remember feeling so much guilt when my grandma passed away. She'd called me the day before everything happened, and she was so cheery and talkative. And when she called me, I was at work and hyper-focused on whatever I was doing. And I spent so much of that conversation responding with a crap ton of uh-huhs and yes and okays, and it was so stupid. And I had all these deadlines to meet, and in the moment, I just felt like she was slowing me down and I just needed to hurry up and get back to what I was doing. And in the days that followed, I kept thinking about that conversation and how much of a jerk I was for thinking my to-do list was so much more important than talking to her. And some days later, we said goodbye to her, and the guilt just, it was at like such an unbearable point. And I couldn't stop thinking about that last phone call or thinking that I hadn't done enough to let her know how much I loved her and how much she meant to me and how much of an impact she had in my world. And so my family and I are in her house and we're packing everything up, and I come across a large box in her storage closet, and I start looking through it. And as I do, I'm coming across all this stuff that I had sent to her all along the years when we lived states and states apart. All kinds of things that she saved because they came from me. And you have no idea how happy it made me to see those things. And then, like, as if somebody turned on an Instagram glitter filter, suddenly everything in her house that I had given to her became so crystal clear to me. And here I was thinking that I was so self-absorbed and didn't do anything to shower her with my love and affection, and I could not have been more wrong. I had the memories and all that stuff. Like, I had that. All the time we spent together, and the times she would call me with a quote-unquote emergency, only to find she made me bring dinner to a screeching halt so that I could go to her house to set the VCR to record a Tiger Woods match. Yes, you heard that right. I would go to her house, like, stop making dinner, turn off the oven, whatever, because it never failed. I was like cooking something, and she would call with an emergency, and I never learned. And I would stop everything and race over to her house just to find out that she needed me to set her VCR to record a Tiger Woods match. You know what I mean? Like, the craziest thing, the craziest thing. And I would always be dumbfounded, like, are you serious right now? This was your emergency? But, you know, I'd love to get one of those calls right now. So for some reason, I really needed to see the tangible things. I needed to know that I wasn't a total piece of crap and that I wasn't a self-absorbed kid and I wasn't just stuck in my own world. And I wasn't. And you know what's really crazy? Talking this out with you guys literally just made me realize that finding that box and seeing all of that stuff that I'd given to her was one of her parting gifts to me. It was her way of releasing me from the guilt and burden I'd created because she always knew better. It's so crazy. Like, I can't believe I never thought of that before. Those feelings were so similar when I lost Honey, and they still hold true today as I mourn my uncle. And those questions that run on a heartbreaking loop. Did I do enough, say enough, be enough, laugh enough, give enough? I have no idea. I don't. But, you know, it is what it is. And there's no turning back the clock. There's no undo button. There's none of that. There's none of that. And I won't even remotely get into the what ifs because, good Lord, it's just a hard thing to reconcile. It's so hard to reconcile loss. To know that one minute this person is there, breathing, talking, life coursing through their veins. They're taking up space, physically taking up space. And the next thing you know, they're like a vapor. And while I know they're gone because I have this new information that tells me that they're gone, it's like my eyes are scanning the globe trying to find them. It really, like, actually feels that way. It feels like my mind is racing like a tracker or something, just knowing I'll be the one to find them. And I know it's so crazy and I don't quite know how to explain it, but it's just part of that process of trying to reconcile having had this person and then not having them anymore. And inevitably, we think back to the last time we saw them and the last time we talked to them and what that conversation was like. Were there any clues of anything? Did their subconscious know? Did their soul know? Did their spirit know? Did their anything know? And did their soul tell my soul? And it's inevitable. It's how it goes. And for my uncle, I saw him a few weeks ago and we had a birthday party for one of my cousins. And it was so much fun. And it was like one of those rare occasions where a ton of us happened to be able to get together in the middle of the week. Like, that is unheard of for us. Like, you know, just like all of you, everybody's going in so many different directions. And it was just so awesome. And he would do anything for us. Anything. Party in the middle of the week. Take everybody out to eat. It didn't matter. And for him, you know, he was coming back here in a few days' time and making plans to move here to put down new roots. And it is so weird thinking that that won't happen now. It's crazy knowing that every family party will be short one amazing person, or how he won't be pulling into the driveway with a cooler full of food he brought for everyone from South Florida. And he would bring these giant avocados and these amazing plantains and a bunch of Spanish cheese and sausage that we just can't find anywhere else. Or how he would always give the kids fun money to spend however they wanted, and how all of us would fuss over him and cook for him and wait on him because he absolutely deserved it and it made us so happy to do it. And to know that we'll never be able to do that again just super sucks. And it's the same for all of us. It doesn't matter who it is. For me today, it's my uncle. For you guys, it's someone else that is equally or far more important to you. And no matter how you cut it, it just freaking sucks. And there's, you know, all of that said, there is no doubt in my mind that there's an afterlife. I know our loved ones move on to another place because I've seen them there. I have connected with my loved ones, and I've also connected with some of your loved ones. And to say I feel so honored that I get to do that for myself and for you guys is such an understatement. I just don't even know how else to word it than to say that it's an honor. And even though I know all of that and I've seen all of that and I've lived all of that, none of that helps me to cope with any of this any better. And I'm human and I'm selfish and I want my people to be here in the physical world with me because I want them here and it makes me happy and the list ends there. And I want to physically see them and hug them and kiss them and talk to them. But it doesn't work that way. I haven't tried connecting with my uncle yet because I just don't think I can take it. And something about it just makes it that much more real to me. And I'm just not ready. And, you know, we're a few days away from his services, and that means I can live in partial denial for a few more hours. And if you guys are anything like me, you don't cry all the time. I find my mind moves onto something else, and then suddenly I'm like ripped back into this new reality and it hurts all over again. And the tears flow all over again. And I know part of him is waiting for me to be ready. And I say waiting loosely because I think he's going to break before I do. He has, but, you know, so much patience. And a couple of nights ago, I heard walking in my room and saw a shadow a few times that looked like him. And at the time, I shut it down and went back to tossing and turning because I just couldn't take it. And last night, I saw him as he was. And then it's like I went through a super fast time warp. And there he was, this like super young guy just laughing and hanging out. And I didn't recognize him like that because that's not how I knew him. Like, I know him to be, you know, 30s, 40s, early 50s. But I knew it was him. So apparently he has things to say and he's going to be just as chatty on the other side as he was here, which is good to know. And I know the moment that I am fully ready, it's just going to click and he's going to say what he has to say or express what he has to express, and it's going to be all good. And this, honestly, it's not to bring the room down in any way or make you guys ball up in a corner with snotty faces. Like, this stuff happens. We all go through it and it mega sucks, but we all go through it. And really, I just want you to know that you're never alone. We have a kick-ass Media Matters family that is always ready to have your back. We're here for each other, and that feels so good to know. So good. And I know this happens all the time. It just does. And like I said, so many of us have experienced loss before and we're going to keep experiencing it. It's just part of life. I remember toward the end of season 2 in the In Case of Emergency episodes that we did with Sophie, she shared her experience with losing her mom and how she protected her mom and herself during that time. It's such a time of turmoil and your focus is scattered, like you're barely holding it together, and you try to make sure you're putting one foot in front of the other, and the list ends there. But I will say a lot of Sophie's guidance holds true right now. My loved one is not in need of physical protection the way Sophie's mom was, but I am. And it's always a great idea to be centered, grounded, and protected, but more so during times like these. I know right now I'm really distracted thinking about my grief and not even remotely focusing on protecting myself or taking care of myself, but I am taking steps to change that. And in addition to making sure my squad is surrounding me, I also need to put some time and energy into my self-care because I have a tendency to get sick when I'm under stress and it's just the whole thing. And I really would like to avoid that. So I know that for me, it's important to eat well, to take my vitamins, to keep juicing, to take time to lounge on the couch and watch whatever I want, light some candles, light incense, whatever my soul needs to feel cared for. That's what I need to do. And as I start coming back into my body, I'll need to remind myself that our loved ones find ways to make contact with us, and they're not gone forever. Their form has changed, but they're still them and they're still around. And I need to take my own advice and re-listen to some of the old episodes, like the season one episode, Connecting with Loved Ones, and the other season one episode, I believe it was called For the Sake of Self-Care, because those will help me to get back on track, and it'll help you guys too. And I'll make sure that I link all of those episodes in the show notes so that you can reference them if you need to. But for now, I really just want to say thank you so much for hanging with me and hearing me out. And just because it's over doesn't mean that it's over. You know what I mean? In my heart, I know our loved ones are free and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And as much as I want them here with me, I know that if given the chance to ask them to come back to me and live this world again, I wouldn't. I've seen their love and their freedom and their happiness and the ease in their movements. Would I ask them to give all of that up for me? In my head, hell yeah. But in my heart and soul, no way in hell. Plus, I can see them almost anytime I want. And if they were here in the physical world, I'd have to wait till they were done doing whatever it is they're doing and drive to me or fly to me. And ain't nobody got time for that, honestly. I'm just kidding. I would honestly wait forever. And the truth is, you guys, that even though we're all going to go through this, we're all going to soldier on, because that's what we do. And our loved ones don't need us to be babies and break down so far that we can't ever find our way up again. That's just not what they would want. And I know, because I know my uncle, and because I know from conversations my family and I have had in the last, you know, couple of days, that that's definitely not what he wants. He doesn't even want a service where anybody's crying. He wants a party. And I hear a lot of people say that about their loved ones, and it just is a testament to their love and their spirit and all of those things. And the best way that we can honor them is to celebrate their lives, because our loved ones are incredible. They just are. And, you know, we're going to cry. It's part of the process. But we also have to remember to laugh and to celebrate and to tell those amazing stories that keep them alive in our hearts and in our family lineage, because that's really important too. But please, don't at all for 1 second think that you're alone in this. We are in this together. Reach out if you need someone to talk to. Reach out if you just need to hear a really dumb, crappy joke that will either make you laugh or question why you reached out to me in the first place. You guys, I cannot tell you enough how much better it makes me feel to hang with you. This is not the typical episode. It's not as long as usual. If I go any longer, I may break down and never come back up again. So I think that's going to be it for this episode. I really am so grateful to all of you, whether you stayed for the whole episode or not. Honestly, you guys make me feel so, so much better. For a refresher on some of the things I talked about, make sure you check out the episodes I'm going to link in the show notes for you. It is season one, episodes 3 and 11, I believe, and season two, episodes 41 and 42. And again, they'll be linked in the show notes. We're back next week with an all new tearless episode of The Media Matters. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. And P.S., I don't know if you guys heard it, but during the recording, there were a few audible bangs in the room that I have never, ever heard before. I really hope the mic picked all of that up. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Apparently, just talking about this gets the other side going, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, it's all good. If you guys want to reach out for whatever, please make sure that you do. If you just want to say hi, that is always great with me. I love hearing from you guys, whatever it is. Thank you so much again for letting me just talk, letting me cry a little bit. And I hope you guys were not operating vehicles or heavy machinery. All right, you guys, for real this time, thank you so much. I love you. Good night.